Good morning. One thing that I've picked up over 5 years now of being an instructor is that if you come across an illustration that's exceptionally effective, it's okay to steal it. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Okay, so part of what I'm going to do this morning is something that I saw you ever see a message and it just, when you get through with it, you're like, holy cow. You know, it's like, not only did it step on your toes, not only did it hit you upside the head, but it left a mark, right? That's kind of what I wanted to share with you today, is something that did that for me. How many of you guys have ever had to be away from home for an extended period? Okay, so several of you. One of the things that stuck in my mind, because I spent a semester in Spain when I was in college, and I was all excited when I got there. It was a unique, kind of an adventurous trip for me, right? It was somewhere new, right? Exciting and new. And what I discovered after a couple weeks was that the daily grind is the daily grind wherever you go. It's kind of neat, but after a while, it loses its luster. And it turns out that no matter how nice the place you go is, it's not the same as being home. Right? Later on, Amy and I saved up for a couple of years, and we took a trip to Europe, and it was a week longer than it was supposed to be because I messed up booking the flights and things. And by the end of that vacation, I was so ready to come home. I mean, it was fun. It was neat. I'm grateful I had the chance to do it. I was so ready to come home. Anything familiar. I told Amy my favorite meal the whole time was at the Hard Rock Cafe in Italy, because it was like, or in Rome, because it was like America. I got a glass with ice in it. They refilled it when it got empty. Free refills are a strange concept in Europe. They don't know anything about it. But it wasn't home, right? And one of the issues that we have is we've made ourselves pretty cozy here, because this is not meant to be our home either, right? How often do you wake up in the morning, you wake up and stretch, you look in the mirror, whatever, you're like, I don't belong here. Have you ever done that? I haven't. Go in the bathroom in the morning, you know, oh, that's why I don't look in the mirror, right? I don't belong here. No, because I'm at home. But Paul didn't feel that way. If you go to Philippians 3, he's talking about all these great accomplishments that he has and kind of things that would be a feather in your cap on a resume. And he just gets done listing all those. And then in verse 7, chapter 3, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. In the King James, he says dung. He says, all these things that I used to treasure, they're just a bunch of crap. It's literally, he's saying, this is garbage. It's dung. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He is forgetting everything that's behind. He says, I don't have it yet, but I'm pressing on to take hold of it. I'm forgetting everything that's behind, and I'm straining toward what's ahead, pressing on. I thought it was funny because I've been thinking about this for at least a month, and at work on Friday I was talking with one of my coworkers, and he was, I don't know how it came up, but he was talking about these marathon runners. And he had seen this video, these people, they're finishing the race, right? These are not professional athletes. These are people who decided, I'm going to run a marathon. And they get to the end, and he said, it's like they're just willing one more step. And he said this, somebody fell down. And they were like, like a turtle that's fallen on its upside down, trying so hard to get up. And there was another, and I feel bad for laughing, but it was funny, the way he was describing it. There was someone back, like, far enough they should have been able to go around, like 20 feet or so. And they see this person fall down, and they're, and they just trip over them. It's like they couldn't even turn to go around. They're so tired. But they're, that's what I think of when I think of Paul here, not that he can't turn, but that he's just willing himself to go the next step. He doesn't care what's back there anymore because he's got his eyes on the prize, right? And we have lots of examples where God really doesn't want us looking back. It's okay to reminisce periodically. That's fine. But he doesn't want us to be so attached to here or attached to things that have already happened. In Genesis 19, we see Lot and his family leaving Gomorrah. Or was that Sodom they were in? They were in Sodom, that's right. One second, make sure I find the right place. So they're heading out of town. It says, by the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. He said, don't look back. She looked back, and he destroyed her instantly. Right? In Luke 9, we have people making what seem like pretty reasonable requests to most of us. You know, Jesus, they're getting ready to follow Jesus. Like literally follow him around because he's in the midst of his ministry here. And this is toward the end of chapter 9. I'll start with verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. That seems reasonable. But Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Wow, right? Don't get stuck in the past or too attached here. Okay, so I have a prop. I don't use a lot of props, but I chose to bring one today. I teach rigging at the apprenticeship, too, so I had role playing around. Let me unravel that. Now that I've totally tangled it. You can just sit and work on it. I got the part that I need. Okay, so imagine that this rope does not end in a tangle over here. It goes on forever. Okay, the rope goes on forever. And imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. Okay? This little part here is your time on earth. But the rest of this just goes on forever. A million years goes by, there's another million years. A billion years goes by, there's another billion years coming. A trillion years goes by, right? You start to see the point. It just keeps going forever. And this is just your few short years here on earth. And then you're going to spend those few years here on earth, you're going to spend the rest of eternity someplace else. Right? Life on earth, rest of eternity. The thing that's really remarkable is that some of you, and I'm guilty of this as much as anybody else, we only ever think about this part.
right? It blows the mind. We've got all this billions or trillions of years. We're worried about this, like, you know, anywhere from, on average, 70, 80, 100 years, somewhere in there, right? We're worried about it. It's like, oh, I'm going to work really, really hard on this part so that when I get here, I can enjoy myself. Right? What will I do for a living? Who will I marry? Will I get to do fun things? Right? And maybe right here? It seems crazy, right? Because what about that? What about that? Right? The Bible teaches us that what I do during this part, this little part here, affects how I spend the whole rest of the time. How many chances do I have of that little purple part? One. Have I messed it up? Lots of times. Lots of times. It's because Jesus is the only reason I can get a do-over on this. But once I'm done here, that's the end of the do-overs. You know who understood this really well? Christ. When I look at this with the proper perspective, I say, what I do during this time here will affect how I spend the rest of my eternity. But when Christ was here, how he spent this time here affected everybody's eternity. You think you have pressure. The Bible talks about for the joy set before him, he endured the pain. Because the pain, as awful as it was a blip in this part of his tape was only 33 years long, so maybe itty bitty short piece of tape. It was horrific. It was painful. It was tough to take. And he found himself at odds with God because he's carrying our sin, right? But he knew this was coming. And he wanted all of us to be there. You can just leave it unspooled. You don't have to keep reeling it up. Maybe I'll just bring it all out, and then you can reel it back up again so it keeps you busy. Oh, that's not going to work. I'll trip anyway. So what happens when you actually think about it this way is you make decisions that don't seem to make sense to other people because they think this is all there is. So let's say you come into a little bit of money and you decide to help somebody else out with it. And they're looking at you like, you gave how much money to this guy? You could have had this, or you could have gone here. You could have done this thing over here for that money. Where are we supposed to make our treasure? Out here. This lasts forever, right? I bought some silver. So I got a little bit of silver. And that's only going to last for this part here. So people will look at some of the things that you do and they'll say, well, that's stupid because that's going to affect this. And you say, well, you're stupid because that's going to affect all of this. Right? What? Not you're stupid, but what you're doing is stupid. I think I just like playing with the rope. And everybody does this. I get caught up in that. I'm not worried about this most of the time. And do it. Part of that is natural. I don't have to worry too much about it because I have Christ. But I need to appreciate that I have Christ. I need to be trying to do the things that show him that I appreciate it. I need to be trying to grow and become the person that he wants me to be. But I don't have to worry about this because of Christ. But that doesn't mean I should forget about it, right? I get tied up with bills and repairs that need done around the house and all these other things, and they're distractions. I heard a story about this guy. He was doing a mission trip in Africa. And, you know, when he's in Africa with his family, it's pretty easy for him to remember what we're talking about here, that this world isn't really our home. Because he'd get up in the morning, and here he is in Africa, a white guy and his wife and their kids, and he looks around, he's like, yeah, I don't really belong here. It reminds him that he's got a mission, right? He's there to do something. But they were talking with him, and he said he had to fly to the United States for something. And just on the flight, he's like,
kind of nice and air-conditioned in here. They got a movie playing. The stewardess brings me a drink, right? I got something cold with ice in it. And it's easy to get distracted, and we get distracted by both problems and blessings, right? We get too comfortable or we get distracted with problems. So we all do that. And it looks crazy. 1 Corinthians 8, or chapter 1, starting in verse 18, says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." Hey, my brother's taking my rope away. You got to leave me this part of it. All right, I'm going to try that again. "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate.'" So where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. So don't let it bother you if somebody says, "Well, that's silly. Why are you doing that?" Well, you understand that this is not all there is. That's why. I'm always watching apprentices roll in. I have like a third-year apprentice that has a $40,000, $45,000 new pickup. Drives me nuts. I'm like, yeah, that seems like a great idea when you're working 60 hours a week, but when work dries up, that thing's going to eat you alive because they're thinking about an even smaller portion here, right? We all see that, and we think, well, that's foolish. But when you keep all this in mind, how many of the other things that all of us do are foolish? Right? Lots of them. I'm blessed with ornery family. And then I made the mistake of enlisting one of them. So Paul says we should all take his point of view. If you look at Philippians 3 again, starting in 15, "All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." So Paul says, follow my example. Something I'd never thought of before. Would you tell somebody that? Go up to somebody and say, "Hey, live like I live. Follow my example." Not many of us, I would be comfortable in saying, do what I do in this area, this small little area here, right? I have a couple things that I do well. I'd be comfortable telling you to copy me on that. But just to generally throw out a follow me, do as I do, with no qualifiers, no reservations, there's not many of us probably that could do that. But Paul, that's what Paul says. He says, follow my example. And then he says in 17, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. So he's saying, watch the people that are living well, that their life reflects what the word says, not just their words. But then he kind of changes directions here in verse 18. He says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." So why does Paul have tears here? Why is he crying? It's because he looked around and he saw people, some of whom were probably professing Christians, who didn't live as if they had God in mind. It says their God is their stomach. So, I'll just use myself as the example here, but I'm pretty sure I'm not alone. there have been times where I'm still in this part because you can still see me here. But there have been times along here where there's something that I wanted to do. And rather than pray about it or dig into the Word and see if there's something that would offer some guidance about what God's will is about that, I just kind of say, I'm going to do that. And then I find a way to justify it, which I'm really good at. One of my great skills. It's not a good skill to have, but yeah. Rationalize it, right? I'll find a scripture, maybe take it out of context if I have to. Oh, it must be okay. Look at this, right? We don't consult God about our decisions so much as we do what we want and attempt to justify it somehow with some scriptures. And I'm not saying we all do that all the time. I'm saying probably all of us have done it at least once. And that's what he's talking about. He says their God is their stomach. You know, they don't worship God the Father. They worship their own desires. I want to do this, so I'm going to do this. That's not worshiping God. Now, there are things that God hasn't really offered us a lot of guidance about. Like if I was trying to decide if I want to be an electrician or a plumber, I don't know that God has a strong preference one way or the other, although the electricians are the highest form of life in the trades. Okay, that was tongue-in-cheek. I just say that because I hate plumbing. Actually, if I had a close friend that was a good plumber, I'd take care of that guy because I call him when I had problems. I thought it was heating and cooling mainly that you did. I might have to start being nice to Destry. Okay. You threw me off my game a little bit off rhythm now. That's okay though. So Paul continues. He says, "But our citizenship is in heaven." Right? We worry so much. I'm worried about making sure that I'm comfortable here. Right? But my citizenship isn't here. I'm a visitor. This is why the tape is so short. Right? When Amy and I went on our vacation, it seemed like a long time. It was 2.5 week vacation became 3.5 weeks. It felt like a long vacation. We were ready to come home. Right? It felt like a long time. But it was a blip. We were travelers. And that's what we are here. Our life here, it seems like a long time, right? I've been here for 43 years so far. It seems like a long time. But not compared to this. It's like when you get your stimulus check and you look in your bank account and you're like, hey, look at that. I got thousands of dollars in checking. And then you look at the national debt and you're like, well, this is like less than spare change. This is... You have to come up with a half penny just to make this comparison. Our citizenship is in heaven. I think the difficulty is, for me anyway, I'm familiar with this, but I've never been to heaven. So it's hard for me to think of it that way, even though that's the environment I was created for, right? Something else I mentioned to you guys before, we rarely think about, all of you are immortal beings. Just try this sometime when you're out and about, you're at town or at the gas station or somewhere. Just look around and remind yourself, each one of these people is going to exist in one form or another forever. And most of them don't know it. It's a weird feeling. If you do that when you're out and about, you'll feel like it's like in a movie where you can see something that no one else can see, right? They could see it, they just don't think about it. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's what we're designed for. We're designed to be there and worshiping God. All right, we're coming up towards the end. I didn't expect this would be a long, long lesson, but I've decided that more isn't always better. You know, something that Grandpa has said for years is that 100 years from now, it won't make any difference. Right? Sometimes that's true. And sometimes it isn't. So with this in mind, I got a couple questions for you.
Okay, you don't have to answer right now, but I want you to think about it. What did you do this past week that matters in light of eternity? Not so necessarily important for here, but it makes a difference out here somewhere. You know, thinking over the last week, I'll have to think some more, but I'm not sure there was anything, which is kind of sad. I know there have been things in the past, right? If you have a chance to share something with someone or encourage them, something that planting a seed that may take and help someone come to Christ, that has huge ramifications out here. But I'm not sure I did anything last week that affected anything but this. It's kind of sad. I think keeping that in mind might make me be more apt to look for opportunities. But I want you to think about that. And then what all have you done this last past week that will not be remembered in eternity, that only affects this? There was one other thing I noticed in reading through this passage that I'd never noticed before. It is Philippians 3 and 12. The last part of that, it says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." I'd never noticed before. I always read the part about Paul trying to take hold of the prize, but I'd never noticed the part about he's doing that because Christ took hold of him. And in some ways, this problem that we have with getting too comfortable and forgetting the proper perspective we're supposed to have, forgetting that we're citizens of heaven, it's that we're letting the world take hold of us instead of Jesus. We need to remember that love. I mean, it's like, I was already talking about Spain, so I'll talk about Spain some more. When I spent my semester in Spain, Amy and I got engaged right before I left. I planned the trip well before I knew I was going to get engaged. So I would call her, and I couldn't wait to get home and see her. I actually took a trip in the middle for, was that a week? Yeah, I flew back. I found a deal on a plane ticket. I flew back for a week because I couldn't take anymore. So I just really wanted to see her and wanted to come home for a little bit. And that's what you do when you're in love, right? And Jesus died for us. He loved us when we were dead in our sin, like we talked about in class. I mean, don't you want to see what he looks like face to face? Aren't you looking forward to getting to a point where you don't make any more mistakes? You're not sinning. You're not tempted. Everything is known to you. All the different things that we're going to have in heaven. But we're focused on this. It makes no sense. If you have not let Jesus take hold of you, that's what we're offering with the invitation every Sunday. We're offering to let you have your sins washed away and let him take hold of you and you take hold of him. So we'll offer that as we stand and sing.